Our first scripture this morning is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 through 50. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And our second scripture is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the most respected biblical commentators I know passed away just a few years ago. I had the opportunity to hear him speak at two or three points along the way. His name was Fred Craddock. He taught for many years at one of our United Methodist seminaries, Candler School of Theology in Atlanta. I was reading one of his books this week where he was writing about the gospel reading that you heard this morning. And he made a statement in that book that just really stood out to me. He wrote, Luke 6:35 expresses the essence of the whole gospel. That's a big claim, and it's not really the verse that we might pick to do that. Many would pick John 3:16. I suspect that almost all of you have John 3:16 memorized. There are other verses that some might pick. For example, in 1 John, there are a couple of wonderful, fairly short statements that some might choose to say, well, that's what the essence of the gospel is. There's the statement, God is light. There's the statement, God is love. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a statement that we call the Great Commission about what we are to do as the people of God, and our denomination, the United Methodist Church, uses that statement in its denominational mission statement. But Dr. Craddock says that it's not any of those. It's this one. You heard it. Hear it again. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Jesus says that in the sermon on the level place that Luke records. He says very similar language in another occasion in the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew records. And the subject matter is about how we deal with each other, about our human relations. There's nothing in that statement about salvation or faith in Jesus as the atoning sacrifice. In fact, Jesus isn't directing His words to God or about God at all. He's talking about how we live together on the face of the earth. It can be difficult. That's why Paul, when he was writing in Corinthians, reminded us we are dust. We are created human beings out of the dust of the earth, and a lot of times that's where our mind is, down in the dust. What we need is the mind of heaven. God has made all of us as those people, and God claims all of us as those people. And it may be that this sentence from the Gospel of Luke can be considered the essence of the gospel, because what it reminds us is that our relationship with God is based on this most far-reaching claim that I can think of. We are to be this way because this is the way God is. God is kind to the ungrateful, to the wicked. God is kind to God's enemies. God is kind to us. Now, if you don't think of yourself as an enemy of God, I'm glad. I don't want you to think of yourself as an enemy of God. But just who is? Well, Jesus says here, those who are ungrateful. There are times when any one of us can be ungrateful, and there have been times when all of us at one point or another have been ungrateful, including ungrateful to God, at least neglecting some aspect of being thankful to God for what we have and for how we are. And there are times when any one of us can think or behave in a wicked, ungracious, unkind manner to some other person. And I suspect that there are times when all of us have done that. So Jesus issues a command. Love your enemies. It's not you ought to love your enemies. He doesn't say it's a good idea if you love your enemies. No, it's a command. Love your enemies, period. Why? Because that's how God is. Specifically, that's how God is toward us. Now, I think that it's not a good idea for us to gather for worship and think of ourselves in any way as an enemy of God. But at the same time, it's hard for us to gather for worship at any time and not recognize that we have enemies. Here we are today. It's impossible to ignore what's going on in the world. Russia is threatening Ukraine. Russia is threatening NATO and Western Europe. Now, let's keep in mind, this is Russia, not the communist USSR of days ago. This is Russia today. Russia is a nation that has a state-recognized church, the Russian Orthodox Church. As we gather in our places of worship today, there are churches in Russia that have gathered for worship. There are churches in Ukraine that are gathering for worship. We all pray to the same God. We claim the same Jesus Christ as Savior. We say that we follow the same Holy Spirit. And we are enemies. If enemy sounds too strong, let's say we're at least opponents. I actually thought that would kind of soften it a little bit until I looked in the dictionary. I never had the opportunity to look up how the word enemy came to be. And the dictionary said, an enemy is an opponent, an adversary. An enemy is someone who is not our friend. Because the term enemy, the word enemy in English, comes from Latin through Old French, but originally from Latin, literally translated as a not friend. Or in the vernacular today, we might say an unfriend. Do you ever unfriend anyone? Even if you don't have Facebook, that is a term that has crept into our vocabulary. It's a verb. You unfriend someone. I really like what Facebook does, because Facebook tells you when you unfriend someone, they won't tell that other person. Now, how nice. They won't tell the other person you've just become their enemy. You reckon Joe Biden's got Facebook? Or Vladimir Putin's got Facebook? I actually doubt either one of them does. I don't even hardly look at Facebook myself. I probably look at Facebook about 3 times a year. But good Roman Catholic that he is, if Joe went to Mass today, and if Vlad attended a service of the Russian Orthodox Church, because he is a confirmed member of the church, if he attended Mass today, they would have heard the priest read the same gospel that you heard today. And here we are in the gospel. Jesus says to us, love your enemies. So what are we going to do? Just ignore that? Well, let's just move on to something easier. Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. We like to call that the golden rule. If only others would treat us the way that we like to be treated. Of course, Jesus doesn't say it like that way. Instead, he makes sure that we understand the direction. It's not about wishing how someone would be kind to us. It's about telling us to be kind to others. It's another one of those commands. The emphasis is not on what we get. The emphasis is on what we are supposed to do. Do to others. That's just such a wide open statement. There's no limitations. It's not do one specific thing or do another specific thing. That would be so easy because it would be so limiting. Instead, it's just wide open. Just do. Everything? Everything that we do? Every interaction with someone else? Every conversation? Every activity? Every involvement? Every thought? Every thing? Do. And then there's a word, others. Just others. Others, no limitations. Not other friends, not other church members, not other Americans, not other United Methodists, not other members of Wesley, not just other Christians, just others, all others. Yes, others who are friends, but others who are enemies. In fact, when we think about those who are enemies, we think how very much other from us they are. And we all want to be loved. So that takes us right back to love your enemies. It's appropriate, I suppose. 6:35 is kind of buried down in the reading, but if you listen to it, that's actually how Jesus started it in verse 27. Whenever it is that you read a phrase in one verse and then just a very few verses later, you read the same phrase again, that means it's important. So in 6:27 and in 6:35, Jesus says the same thing. Love your enemies. It's not just a command, it's an important command. He repeats it. I suppose he feels like he needs to repeat it. It's so hard to hear. It doesn't make sense. And Jesus fills out what loving your enemies means. Doing good, blessing, being generous. In other words, treating an enemy like a friend. Because after all, that's what God does to us. And that may be the reason why. We could think of 6:35 as the essence of the gospel. Jesus reminds us that being kind and blessing and doing good by others and not taking advantage of others, all of that comes under the heading of grace or mercy. And so he gives another command. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And that sounds very much like a line in the Lord's Prayer that we use every week about being forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. No, it's not that way. It is forgive your enemies. Forgive us as we have forgiven others. The key here is for us to be as God is. God is merciful. We are to be merciful. These past few weeks, as we've heard the gospel being read week to week, In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is beginning his ministry. He's going out and he's preaching in different places. And the first thought that we have, as earthly bound as we are, is that what Jesus is going to do is he's going to spend all of his time talking about heaven, about getting to heaven, about what that means and understanding our relationship with God. But as we've read through the gospel, Jesus talks an awful lot about how we live together. Yeah, there's words in there about God and salvation and commitment, but he's got so much emphasis on how we are to live together. He gives us those blessings and woes that we heard last week about the different kinds of receptions that people give toward each other. And we read about how he goes to a synagogue in Nazareth and says God's interested in everyone and they don't like that. And he goes to a synagogue in Capernaum and they like how he heals, but then he says, I've got other things to do and other people need me, and they don't like that. Jesus says that his work is about releasing captives and recovering of sight, about setting free prisoners, all of which is good news. All of which is good news focused on living the life that we live. We, We'd like to hear some of this eternal talk. But it's important to remember that whenever we talk about the things that are eternal, eternal means without beginning and without end. It includes all time. And yes, there is a future dimension to eternal, but eternal also means the here and now. Our problem is we're way too quick to jump to the future of eternal and forget that eternal is here and now. And Luke reminds us just how much God is interested in the here and now. Luke says God is so interested in the here and now that God comes to the here and now. God is born into the reality of the world in the birth of Jesus Christ. Born as all of us are born, as limited and as frail as the rest of us, God willingly takes on the dust. It is God's mercy that causes God to come as Jesus Christ. And Jesus teaches us what is important to God. And Jesus spends much of his time telling us just about how it is that we should think of, how we should treat, how we should care for, how we should be kind, and how we should be merciful to others. Now, yes, the Father is merciful, and that is why Jesus came. Yes, that Jesus provides salvation for us. And yes, the way of Jesus on earth leads him to the cross, which is a rejection of everything that he teaches. It's a rejection of God. And the stark realization is that human beings on earth are not only really good at making enemies of each other, we're so good at doing this, we can make an enemy out of God. And just to remind us, every Sunday, there's a cross. Reminds us how humans can be. But God, our Heavenly Father, is merciful. And God loves his enemies. And Jesus blesses those who curse him. And Jesus prays for those who abuse him. To those who strike him on one cheek, Jesus doesn't just simply offer the other cheek. He offers the whole rest of himself, his whole body, for them to strike. And he offers his clothes. And Jesus loves his enemies. He freely gives himself for them. In fact, Jesus gives all the mercy that is necessary for his enemies. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what that line is about. It's about mercy. It's about just how much mercy there is. Just overflowing amount. So much so that we can freely give mercy to our enemies who we should not judge, we should not condemn, who we should forgive and do good things for, and even love. These are all golden rules. Because they're more valuable than gold. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. Why are they all golden rules? Because that is how God is to us. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, you look on the world and you see us as we are and how we are toward each other. You see us as we deal with our friends and as we deal with our enemies. Yet to you, we are all children. And as your children, you call on us to love friend and enemy alike. Even as we contemplate cursing and hating and violence toward those who oppose us, remind us and even trouble us with the words of Jesus, so that we who once made ourselves your enemies because of the cross may through the cross be redeemed in the love of Christ, so that then we may look on all of those in the world with the eyes of mercy and kindness and doing good to all. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.